Welcome to Living Word Bible Church audio sermons. Please visit us at www.lwbc.co.uk for more information, further audios, and a host of other Bible-based resources. We pray that the following audio sermon will both bless and encourage you.
The Apostle James writes in chapter 4 and verse 14, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away." The title of my message this morning is called "This Is Your Life." Maybe you remember the TV show that I think started in the 1950s and went through, I think, to the 1980s. The TV show "This Is Your Life," where Eamon Andrews came on with the big red book with on the front of it, "This Is Your Life." And they would surprise somebody, some famous person, some celebrity whose life they were going to celebrate. In a way, we're all interested in other people's lives. That's what history is all about. We have all got our different styles of biography that we would read. I personally, if I'm going to read a book on someone's life, I don't want it to be fictional. I don't want it to be made up. I want it to be historical. I want it to be fact. So we are all interested in other people's lives. We buy books. We watch films. We may listen to audios. Whatever it may be, we're interested. Maybe sometimes we're a little bit too interested in ourselves to be concerned about other people. But the fact is that we are interested. Otherwise, shows like that would never have come to this TV screen. So the question we're asking this morning, what about your life? What about my life? What if somebody sat down at the end of our lives when we're dead and buried and to write a book about us? Or maybe I could say it this way. What could you write about yourself? What your achievements in the Lord, your victories in Christ. What could you write about your personal relationship with the Lord? I'm guessing that some Christians could only write, if possible, one or two pages or even a paragraph or two. Maybe not even that. So what could we write? What could others say about us after we've gone? Is it just going to be at our gravesite, "Oh, he was a good man," or "she was a good woman"? And you know what? After a few years, we forget those people. They may come up in conversations once in a while, and we remember the funny things that they did and said. But you know, the truth is, we only remember them. We only recount those times because they were part of that story. In every other situation, we have no interest in those people. Think about the millions and billions of people that have passed away from this earth. And nobody knows the name. They're forgotten. They go in the records of the registrar. They're registered as dead. And that's it. The people we remember who were close to us, after a while, isn't it true? We think we'll never forget. We'll never get over the heartache. But as the years go by, we kind of forget. Yes, we remember what they did, and we remember certain days and events. But in our everyday life, we've now forgotten them. James tells us what our lives really are. He tells us it's like a vapor. Our life is like a vapor. Our lives can be an odour of sweet smell, Philippians 4:18, or a stinking smog. Maybe you've had those devices in your home that send out a cloud, a vapour of some kind of air freshener. And you hear it for a second, you see the puff of smoke, if you like, the vapour, and then the vapour is gone. But there is a lingering smell. There's an odour in the room. What I'm asking here, that when we've gone, when our vapour is gone, what will be the lingering effect in our lives, of our lives, I should say? Will it be a sweet smell, or will it be a stinking smell? There are people I've known, and I can look back on their lives and say, well, they were pleasant. There are other people who've passed on, I say, well, you know, their lives were not too good. And there are others who really did stink. Our lives don't last long. We could live 70 years or more. We can live 80, we've known people who've lived to 100 and more. But we're not guaranteed that by any means. But in the big scheme of things, our lives don't last very long. We see our family, we see our friends come and go. And as you get older, you begin to go to more funerals. Because the people around you, your friends and your relatives, your neighbours, your work friends, pass away. They've gone. Life just vanishes. And life disappears. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 24 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. There are flowers in our garden that appear for a couple of days, a week maybe, and then they've gone. Very nice to look at, but then you turn around and they've gone. That's what life is all about. The days and years just fly by. I look back on my life and I think, where have all the years gone? Where have all those years gone to? And it won't be long before you and I, before each of us, stand before the Lord. Life is valuable. It's short, but it's valuable. We can waste this great treasure that God has given us. When God created seed to have a tree or a flower or whatever else the seed would be, it was expected to grow fruit, to mature, to be beneficial. And he created man in this exactly the same way, and he told man to go out and multiply. That's not just, I think, just to go and tell them to produce children, but to be productive in every part of our lives. So are we sowing seed to the flesh or sowing seed for eternity? Our short life is valuable, or our short life can be just a waste of time. Have you ever heard that statement? Oh, that person's a waste of space or a waste of time. Would that be said about us after our passing? So the choices that we make as Christians, the roads we travel, the decisions we make, will affect us forever. Not just in this life. The seeds we plant in this life will mature sometimes in this life, but more often is the case, they will mature in eternity. The saving of souls obviously has to mature in this life, but our treasure is laid up in heaven. Everything we do is not for so that we will heap to ourselves great rewards in heaven, though that is true. We're not looking for the rewards, we're looking to the rewarder. We're not looking at the treasure, we're looking at the treasurer. We're looking to Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. But the scripture does teach us that the things we do in this life, either good or bad, one day we will have to answer for them and we will be rewarded accordingly. So obviously then, whatever we do in this life will affect us in some way forever. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that's something we should be always grateful for. But should we be like that person who took the great treasure, took the reward that God gave him, and buried it in the ground? Remember the story? That one made 100-fold, another 60-fold, or was it 50-fold, and another just buried it in the ground. And the one who buried it in the ground was an unfaithful servant, despicable and cast out. Surely then you see that we must be productive in our Christian lives because of what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary's cross, to tell other people the good news of Christ, to live the Christian lives, not to be a hypocrite, but to live a sanctified life, totally and wholly unto the Lord, to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, to motivate us, to lead us in the ways of truth. What we believe actually does determine our eternal destiny. I'm not talking here about once saved, always saved. I'm just simply stating a fact. If we live a bad life in this, a bad life while we're here in the flesh, what's going to be said to us on the other side of eternity? That's something to think about. There are people who have no concern about their lives. They're earthly, the world-based, they're fleshly-based. They don't think they've got a soul or a spirit. They think they're just some kind of elevated animal. One day they will die, but they're mistaken. They're going to stand before God. Everybody must stand before the judgment seat of God. That is a matter of fact. It's going to happen. But what a waste of time. They've wasted their lives on themselves. They were selfish, self-righteous, atheistic, disobedient, wicked, and so on. And there's only one place for them to go to. That's not heaven. That's hell. The irony of this next statement, it just boggles my mind as looking at a Christian who posted on Facebook, and the question that was asked was something to do with heaven or hell. And this Christian posted, "I'm sure as hell going to heaven." My mind can't get round that one. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, we are preparing for heaven. We're making preparations for heaven. We're not going to be like that man who built his barns and thought he had laid up riches for himself for many years to come. He thought he had many years to come, but he only had a few more hours to live. And there are many people like that, even Christians, who are storing up riches for themselves, thinking that they've got decades to go, many years to go. Let's build our barns. Let's make life better for ourselves. Let's keep up with the Joneses and so on. And don't realize that they don't know that life is a vapor. They don't realize life is a vapor and they could go. And God calls such a person, Jesus called a person, a fool. because he didn't prepare for eternity. Now is the time to make sure that we're right with the Lord. I'm not asking you to make sure if you're saved. If you keep doing that, am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I saved? If I'm not saved, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. If you believe, he whosoever believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you are saved. If you go around believing, well, maybe I'm not saved, maybe I'm not really saved, maybe I didn't really dedicate my life to the Lord, the devil will have you going on that merry-go-round for the rest of your lives. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, then you are saved. If you've accepted him into your life, you are saved. So I'm not talking about that. But we can make sure for eternity by laying up treasure in heaven. That's what Jesus told us to do, so there's nothing wrong here. So getting back to the idea of the Eamon Andrews scenario, where he appeared on the stage and he has this big red book, This Is Your Life. Let's take the book of our life. Maybe our lives could be written out in just three chapters. Chapter one, the past. We can look back on our lives and we can remember all the things we did before we became Christians. The terrible things, the blasphemies, the iniquity, whatever else we had. But Paul said, forgetting those things, even Paul knew the things of his past. He told us what his past was like. He said, but forgetting those things which are past, he presses on. So we can look back on our lives. But so often is the case, especially in meetings where a kind of repentance message is being preached, we kind of think back and we remember the things that we did. And a lot of the testimonies that people give in church, which I totally disagree with, which I call boastamonies, they boast about all the sin and all the people, especially all the old people in the church, the mouths are wide open and they can't catch the breath because of the, oh, what a terrible life. They were a member of the IRA, or they were this, or they were that, or they committed this murder, or they were into drugs. And all the sins come out and people are amazed. And then at the end, oh, isn't that person wonderful? But they never really tell anybody about the wonderful things that Jesus did for them. As Van Safner once said, I don't want to know where you came from. I want to know where you're going to. And that is true. The analogy he was bringing out was about a train, standing on the platform waiting for a train. He's not interested where the train came from. He's interested where the train was going to, because that's where he was getting on and going forward. So when we think back on our past, do we just think about the bad things, or shouldn't we rather be thinking about all the good things that have been accomplished in our lives through the Lord Jesus Christ? And there is the crunch. Are there any? Can we boast in the Lord in things like that? So what has your life been like up until now? What roads have you walked upon? The broad road or the narrow road? What choices have you made which are good or bad? When we look back on our lives, have our lives been a testimony to Christ, or have they been a shame? Is Jesus in the chapter of the past? Can you see where he motivated you, moved you, directed you? Can you see the places where he came and he gave you the knowledge or the wisdom over certain circumstances? Can you see where Jesus moved in your lives? If you had your life to live over again, would you do the same things all over again? Here's a good point. You know what? You would say to yourself right now, if I had my life to live over again, I wouldn't do all those things. I'd live for the Lord. You know what? You wouldn't. You'd do all the same things again. Because you know why? Because like you, I just do the same things as well. We say we're not going to do that, but then we do it. We say we're not going to think that, but we think it. We say we're not going to say that anymore, but we say it. We say we're not going to behave in a certain way, but we do behave in that certain way. So would we do the same things all over again? So can we look back with joy, with that blessed assurance that what we've done it to the Lord and not unto men? Or do we look back and say, as we often do, all those wasted years, why have I been such a fool in wasting so many years, and these years have so quickly crept up on me? You know, we start to think like that, don't we, when the pains and the illnesses and the tiredness comes in. You only have to read Ecclesiastes about that. You know, when the teeth start dropping out, when the eyes start going dim, when the hearing starts going dim, when the hair starts falling out, when the bones start creaking, and so on. Do we see anything that is worth writing about, as a one-line statement, if you like, that would talk about your life in such a glorious way? Would anybody bother sitting down and writing a biography of your life? I suppose another way of asking that question is, have we ever moved closer to God since we became born again? Are we nearer to God today than we were at the beginning? Or, like so many Christians today, have drifted away from the Lord. They've left their first love. You see, there is the leaving of the first love, and there is the drawing closer to the Lord. Which are we at today? Paul said in Philippians 3 verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, forgetting those things which are in the past. He says, it's not that I've attained, it's not that I'm already made perfect, but I press toward the mark for the prize, for the prize. He presses forward for the prize. He hasn't got that prize yet, but he's pressing forward. But who is he pressing forward to? Of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's pressing nearer and nearer to God. He wants to know the Lord more and more in his daily Christian life. He doesn't want to relax. He doesn't want to settle. He doesn't want to retire from the ministry. He wants to keep on going in the Lord. So there is the past. Chapter 1, the past. Chapter 2, the present. Look at the here and now. Look at your present life situation. What kind of person are you? What kind of person are you? Do people know you're a Christian? I know this because I've seen it so many times, that Christians can be in a workplace for years upon years, and the people around them don't know the Christians because they've never spoken about being a Christian. And maybe they've lived so close to the world that the people wouldn't even recognize if they did live somewhat in a Christian way. Do people know that you're a Christian? The other side of that is, but are you pretending to be a Christian? See, we have to be big enough in this situation, at this point, to face ourselves, to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, am I really real? Am I really all that I'm cracked up to be? Am I really living for the Lord, or am I just a pretender? Am I wearing a mask? Am I wearing a disguise? We can be deceived, but the worst thing is to be self-deceived, thinking that we're okay when we're not. Are you willing, am I willing, to admit You need help. Not help from a man. Not help from a psychologist, psychiatrist. Not therapy. Not a pill. Not a course on how to live the 6, 7, 10 spiritual laws. Not all that nonsense. But to commit ourselves to the Lord, to bow our knee to Jesus Christ right now and say, Lord, I did ask you to become the Lord of my life, but I've missed it so many times. But I do want you to have lordship over my life. Some Christians can't get that. There's a man in America, a preacher, so far from the Lord, called Joel Osteen. And he wrote a book entitled I Am. But the I Am is not the great I Am God, but I Am, talking about self. And he is one of the worst preachers in the United States in this day. And his impact is over here too, with prosperity, positive thinking, and all the other nonsense that is preached by such people. Are we willing to turn our lives over to Jesus? Over to Jesus and say, Lord, you are the great I Am. I'm not. I'm nothing. I can do nothing without you. Are we willing to lay down our lives and take up the cross and follow him? See, in this present, we can talk about all the issues of life, the dangers and the dilemmas, the diseases, and all the rest of the stuff that goes on in everyday life. But when I'm talking about the present here, I'm not talking about the things that go on in the country or the world or even in your own family. I'm talking about your personal, individual life in Jesus Christ. This is the present. And how do we stand in the present? Is Jesus truly, utterly, fully the Lord of our lives? And then there's the future, chapter 3, the future. This is a look at what is to come. We know the past and we can't change it. Can't change the past. Can't go back and make things right. Can't do that. But in the present, we can change our present. And whatever changes we make for the present enables us for the future. So the future is for what is to come. What do we want out of the rest of our days upon this earth? And obviously, what we want for all eternity to come. What is your hope for the future? What lies ahead? In the present world situation, when we look at all that goes on in the world with the wars, with the pandemics, with the violence on the streets, with man's inhumanity to man, and so on and so forth, there's no hope. The media tells you there's no hope. Your television set tells you there is no hope. The newspapers will tell you there's no hope. As soon as one disease passes, they're telling us that there's another worse one to come. So there's no hope. We settle dilemmas, but they say, you know, the world is heading for a great conflict that will devastate the earth. There'll be mass war. So there's no hope. They tell us, of course they do, who do not know the scripture, that we're in global warming and the earth is going to burn up. So there's no hope. And whichever way you look at this, from the world's perspective, there is no hope. So the question I've got to ask, are you hopeless? Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about our blessed hope and the blessed knowledge that our bodies are going to be changed. We've got eternity to look forward to. So is there any change in your future? Now, you can't really say that, can you? What changes are going to take place in your future? But I know, it's just a matter of fact, it's a matter of logic, and of course Scripture, we know that life is going to be different. Things are going to change by what we do today. It will have an impact on our future. Look at how one little virus that the eye cannot see has changed the world forever. It's changed the future. It's changed your tomorrow. It's changed your next week and your next year. It's changed it forever. There are things that you'll not do in the future simply because of some of the things that have come about because of the pandemic. But spiritually speaking, even the little changes we make in our Christian lives today will have an impact upon our tomorrow and our future on this world and our future in heaven. Does Jesus have a place for you in your future? Of course he does. He's come to prepare a place for you in heaven. But here's the question. Does Jesus have a place in your future? Christians who live worldly, Christians who live lukewarm, Christians who live as though they can just please themselves, eventually Jesus will not have a place in their future. To be nothing left of Jesus in their lives, simply because they will not change, because they will not make the changes. Riches, do you have riches? We're richer than a lot of people in this world. You may not think of yourself as rich, but you go to some countries and you'll find that what you've got, you're like a king compared to them. But riches, you can't take them with you. What good are they for you in eternity future? This world's riches are of no good. Think of those, it's wickedness, of course, but think of those people who are trying to pray people out of purgatory, the non-existent fairy tale purgatory, by giving money to the Catholic Church for prayers to be said. Money can't buy your eternity. Money can't buy eternity with God. It cannot buy a blessing. God is not interested in gold and silver. Gold and silver have I none. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. That's all we can give to the world. Not look at my riches, look at my home, look at my watch, look at my shoes, look at my clothes, look at my car. No, we can only show them Jesus. What about fame? Be famous, to be well known, to have a promotion so other people stand aghast and say, oh, isn't that person wonderful? They must be really intelligent. All fame is going to get you are nice words at your funeral and maybe on your tombstone. That's it. What about pleasure? Pleasure is momentary. It's only lasts for a moment. Pleasure does not endure. And we know that as a matter of fact because people are addicted to pleasure on different levels. Addicted to substances, addicted to alcohol, addicted to the things of the flesh. Pleasure only lasts because it doesn't last, so they want to make it better than the last experience. That's why drug addicts become drug addicts, because they have it once and they have a wonderful experience, so they think, but then they've got to take it to a higher level. And a higher level, and more it goes on. And the same with drink, the same with cigarettes, the same with anything in this world. It's not lasting. Just like that vapor, it's not lasting. After everything is gone, what will be left? What will be left of your life when everything's gone? So how will the final chapter end? Well, it will end either in the rapture, or it will end in your death. One of them will come first. But how will it end? It will end with you and I standing before the judgment seat of Christ. That's how it's going to end. That shouldn't be a scary thing to us. It should be a wonderful thing, but it's awesome, isn't it? Your life in this world will end by you standing before the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear, this is Christians, not the unsaved, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether good or bad. If we can't say that Jesus is my Lord here, we will not say it before the judgment seat. If we haven't confessed him and bowed the knee here, we shouldn't wait to do it before the judgment seat. It's kind of too late. Yes, he will do it, but it's kind of too late, isn't it? Because you look back. I mean, remember those chick tracks? The one that's called This Is Your Life or This Was Your Life, where a big film appeared in heaven and the man's life was portrayed before him. Maybe it will be like that. I don't know. Maybe we will grimace at the things we did. Maybe we will be happy over the things we did for the Lord. But the final chapter of every single person in this world who's ever lived, whoever will live, the final chapter will end in one or two places, heaven or hell. That's the final chapter. Our final chapter, because we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, takes us into heaven. So what is your future? How will your story end? How do you want your story to end? Well, that's the Lord's decision, isn't it? No, it's not. It's actually your decision and mine. We have to make a decision today. We have to kind of have to write the final words of our life now. We've got to write the final chapter of our lives. You know, some people write up their own funeral service before they die. And kind of, in one way, that's what we're supposed to do. We should be writing our future. Writing our life. How we want it to end. So what is the end of our story? One day, this is your life will become this was your life. Let me close out here by reading Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Because there is a book. It's called the Book of Life. Jesus has a book. He has a book with your name in it and mine. The history of our lives are written there. But that history begins, if you like, the moment we became born again, when we were filled with the Spirit. He blots out all of our iniquities and remembers them no more. So in this book of life, all the things that you could possibly remember about your previous life, your unsaved life, no record of that in the Lamb's book of life. What about all the terrible things you've done in this life since you became a Christian? You're ashamed of, but you confess them. They've been blotted out by the blood of Christ. In Revelation 3 verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That's the glorious future that we have before us. This is our life. And one day, Jesus will stand, we will stand before the Lord, and he will say, "This was your life."